Amen. Our Proverbs is our text scripture, comes from Proverbs 28 and 1. I read it from the Amplified Version of the Bible. And again, I want to encourage all of you today to remember our One Nugget experience that we started last week. And as the word go forth, I encourage you to just grab on to one thing that is said, one little nugget, one thing that speak to your heart or a revelation that you get from God's word. And then after that, we want to ask some of you if you want to share that with us, because we believe that a lot of things are said when God's word comes. But just like panning for gold, you know, sometimes, you know, pastor give you a lot of other stuff that's just stuff, you know, just to highlight stuff. But you got to find a nugget. And I want you to hold on to the nugget, because it's the nugget that's going to change your life. Not what I have to say about God's word, but it's the word that's going to change your life. And I encourage all of you, you know, to open your hearts and minds up to listen, to receive at least one thing. Amen? All right, then, the scripture says, the wicked, somebody say the wicked. The wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the uncompromised, just amplify it, and I like that word, uncompromisingly righteous are bold as a lion. Amen? You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our fourth sermon in the series that we have entitled Intentional Boldness. And we've said intentional is when you do something on purpose, for a purpose, and with purpose. In other words, with attitude. When we do things intentionally, it's not an accident. We are doing it on, amen. So, what we need to understand about boldness now is boldness is a willingness to act with courage. Somebody say courage. Courage or confidence. So if you're going to be bold, you got to have courage. And if you're going to be bold, you're going to have to be confident in what you believe in. Because if you're not confident in this word, you're not going to be bold in it. Amen. Y'all help me out now. So we're talking about this. And I said, we live in a time when fear is promoted more than faith, where timidness is often mistaken for humility, and when too many of God's people are shrinking back when they should be standing up. Amen. You know, and I'm an old school guy. If you're scared, just say you're scared. I mean, you ain't got to get out there and pretend like you're humble. Just say, I'm scared. But if you're bold, let the world know that you're ready to defend the hope that you believe in. Amen. See the world need to see Christians who would not compromise the truth of God's word. Christians who refuse to yield or betray their commitment to God, even under pressure, under threat, or even when they're being tempted. See, being bold as a lion does not mean that we act reckless, arrogantly, or proudly, with an oversized ego. But what it means is that we act righteously bold, obeying God when the cost is high, even when our lives could be in jeopardy. Because we are confident who we are, and we know whose we are. Amen? So last week, we saw that the prophet Michael boldly rebuked the sins of both the civic leaders and the religious leaders, because they was exploiting the poor and treating them unjustly. And he had to stand up and speak the truth of God's word to people in power. Every now and then it takes boldness when you got to talk to somebody in power. When you're talking about somebody on your level, you know, you just talk. But when you got to talk to somebody above, you better have your bold pants on. Amen. Because it takes boldness to speak truth to power. And we saw John the Baptist boldly call out King Herod for his sinful lifestyle. And that bold move eventually, Brother JP, cost him his life, because we saw that John was beheaded. And we close with Peter and John boldly declaring to their powerful religious leaders that the stone they rejected had become the chief cornerstone. They rejected Jesus, and they told them that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. See, and so today we're going to continue with John and Peter as they have this final encounter with the religious leaders. Because after their powerful words about Jesus being the only name, you know, the religious leader kicked them out the room for a little bit because they needed to confer with one another. Brother JP, they was trying to determine, what are we going to do with these guys? These guys are going around spreading something that we don't believe in, and now we need to severely threaten them and see will they just shut their mouth. You know, and we're going to look at their bold response to the threat. See, and it's good to see righteous men can stand up before wicked folks and perplex and confuse them. You know, it's time out. Why is the church always perplexed? Why are we always confused? It looked like we ought to have enough on the inside of us to confuse the world every now and then and cause the world to have to go and call a meeting, a conference, to see what we're going to do with these folks. What we going to do with these people who stand up on the truth of God's word and believe what they've read, believe what they have been taught. So let's see how this play out. I'm in Acts chapter 4, verse 15 through 21. It says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves the dilemma that they have. Now they got a problem. These are the religious leaders. These are the highest ranking people in the order of the Sanhedrin Council. And now they got to confer because they got a problem. We got these two guys running around here. They done healed a man. And now they're talking about this name. They're talking about all the things they're doing in this name. And so this is what they said, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident. In other words, everybody saw the man that was healed. So we can't go and lie and say that the man wasn't healed. People saw that because all who dwell in Jerusalem saw it. And we cannot deny it. But look at verse 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that they from now on, somebody say now on. Now on, speak to no man, somebody say no man or woman in this name. You know, we can't kill them because we don't have the authority right now, but we can threaten them. We can make some threats against them and let them know that if they keep this up, we may severely harm them. Something could happen to them. They keep preaching in this. You know, I wonder how some of you would act if someone told you you couldn't say the name. You know, y'all saying louder here in church, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But how often do you call his name when you ain't in here? Ain't no test. Ain't no test when you're in here. All of us call the name. You got to call the name when you're out. When there could be a threat coming against you for calling on the, we in friendly territory right now. I don't think no heathens off up in here. If they are, they outnumber. So, you know, you can be bold when you got numbers on your side, but can you be bold when you're out there by your, I know people don't come to church to be challenged to call on the name anymore because we want watered down his name now so that people scared to even say it. And in church, you can go to church for a month and nobody even mentioned Jesus. They talk about everything else but Jesus. So I challenge you, if you go to a church, your favorite preacher on the internet, who you tune into after you leave here, if he never mentioned Jesus' name, you need to send him an iMessage or whatever they tell you. Drop it in the box. Chat with him. And say, why is it that you had my time for 45 minutes and you didn't say nothing? The name that these folk are trying to stop from even being said, that they speak no more in this name. And look at verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of. You can't come here to strive. And I hope my preacher is the one that preaches when they're, I'm not, they, we got to say something about Jesus. Every time we open the Bible, we got to say something about Jesus. We got to connect him to every little story that we want to tell because it's all about him and not about us. So So therefore, we can't come to church and say we're Christian and we never talk about the star. We never talk about the one who is responsible for all this. We talk about everybody else, but we don't talk about. Man, that ought to let us know. These folks tried to shut down the name of Jesus. But look at verse 19, the bold response. It says in verse 19 and 20, but Peter, somebody say, but. You know that contrast and conjunction? You know, whatever was said before, but going to change something. He said, but Peter and John answered them and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. You guys smart enough. Y'all got degrees. Y'all the Pharisees. Y'all know what the law is all about. So do you think God would be happy if we would preach something other than Jesus? Do you think God would be happy if we did what you want us to do versus what he want us to do? If I do what you want me to do versus what he want me to do, then I would be disobeying him and obeying. Y'all better get y'all obedience lined up. You got to know who you are called to obey. Amen. You're not called to obey man. You're called to obey. So he said, look at you guys smart enough, Brother Wilson. Y'all be the judge. You don't even need to ask me this question. You don't need to even ask us this question. Because you know where we stand. We're going to be on the Lord's side. He said, now look, he answers it in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Look at verse 21. It says, so when they had further threatened them, one threat wasn't enough. You know when the enemy starts talking noise, he's just going to talk. But you got to know if you got the greater one on the inside of you, don't let the talk cause you to become fearful. Amen. Now, and you know later on we're going to see here that the talk gets serious. But even when it gets serious, we got to still call on the name. They let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what he had glorified God. When you come to church, you come to praise God for what he has. If he has done something in your life, you owe him some. I know you mean, you know, some of y'all are real quiet and, you know, sedated and all that, but every now and then you just got to praise God. Every now and then you got to clap your hand and tell him thank you. Every now and then. I know for some of y'all that's a challenge because you may have been brought up in high church. You know, but this, you know, we're in the middle. We ain't all the way to the other extreme where you may have to dance every time I say something. But look at asking you to clap should not be too much. I mean, if you got the activities of your limb, just to give God a hand clap of praise should not be asking you too much. I know some of y'all resisting that. I can look out there and tell. Why? You clap for everything else. Why can't you give God some praise by clapping your hand? I know some of y'all will walk out if I tell you to say shout hallelujah for him. But right now I'm going to challenge some of y'all to just shout hallelujah. That's the highest praise that you can give God. Amen. I know. I feel some of y'all got that tongue-tied spirit holding on to y'all. And I see y'all back there, and I ain't see no lips moving. We ain't come for that. Well, what y'all came for? Wayne, what did they come for? Y'all came to be entertained. I'm trying to teach you something. And every now and then when the teacher gives you something that's right, you ought to say amen. I said, I agree with what God is saying through the man of God. I know this was going to be some hard plowing today, but that's okay. I told you, I'm bold. I'm ready. I'm breaking up some stuff today. Because Peter and John, you know, over there, yeah, they were dealing with a tough crowd too. And I know there ain't none of y'all in here got that Pharisee spirit on you, so I'm just talking to the folks online. Y'all got the right spirit on, so y'all going to work with me today. But just in case there's somebody out there online, I just want to come against that Pharisee spirit and tell you, look here, you need to praise God too while you're eating your omelet and your French toast. Give God some praise. Amen. Give God some praise. Amen. We don't have the luxury to be sitting down and eating at the same time. So I just want to interrupt you for about 30 seconds. Just say, give God some praise. I'm meddling now. That is not a nugget right there. That's bold and talking. I'm meddling. So, but look here. Let me go on to Acts chapter 4:24. And look at Peter and John once they are released. See, when they were released, they went and found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. And they told them, hey, look, they told us we can preach nor teach no more in the name of Jesus. When the believers heard the report, a spontaneous prayer meeting broke out. Amen. And their main request was that the Lord would give them great boldness. Somebody say great boldness. Great boldness in preaching the word, and that miraculous signs and wonders would be done through the name of. They knew that one day, if they kept preaching the gospel, those threats would become more and more severe, and their lives would be in danger. But they understood that they must remain committed to God in spite of the threats. Amen. Now look at this. I'm in verse 24 of chapter 4 of Acts. He says, when they heard the report, talking about the believers, all the believers, somebody say believers. You know, we throw that word around real loosely, and we hanging on anybody who say they know the Lord. But what makes you a believer? If someone was to walk up to you on the street and say, what do you believe in? You got to be able to say, boy, and I just go to church on. Because coming to church on Sunday is not a belief. You can go to church under a tree. So I'm asking y'all, think about that now. If someone were to ask you, what do you believe in? Since you wear the title, I'm a believer. We sang songs about it. I'm a believer. So I just want to know, what do you believe? I mean, I see some of y'all gears turning right now. You know, I wish I was, I'm bold enough to do it, but I don't want to embarrass somebody. I wish I could just put a mic in someone's face right now and say, what do you believe? Veronica, you got your hand up. Veronica, just tell, let somebody online hear what you believe. Now, this ain't in my notes. They wouldn't play. So we're just going to roll with it today, man. Just tell me what you believe. He's going to bring you a mic. Because everybody ought to know, what do you believe?
Hello?
Okay, we got it.
I'm talking to you this morning. I woke up with my right mind. I was just thinking, it's interesting that you're sitting up here and you talking about this. And this morning I woke up and I was thinking about what happened to me and what brought me here. And a lot of people don't know this, but I was sitting before we moved to Kansas City. I used to, when I got off from work, I used to sit in my garage every morning, and I used to pray to God. And one morning, I was praying, and I was like, God, where do you want me? Where do you want me to be at? Let me know. And I went and took a shower and heard this big boom. And my husband, he's no longer with me, if everybody know. He thought that I had left something on in the garage. Well, our garage blew up, and the only thing that was touched was the chair that I was sitting in. Wow. I have a video. We had propane tanks, we had gas in our garage, we had his motorcycle. Nothing wasn't touched except for the chair that I was sitting in. And God had asked me before I left, why are you afraid? Because we was moving to Florida. He said, why are you afraid to be around water? I got you. Why are you afraid to be around water? And I said, God, you know what? I know how to swim. And he was like, but I got you. And we moved here within 45 days, sight unseen. And God brought me here. So that's why I believe in God.
Amen.
God had brought me through a lot of stuff.
Amen.
And right this moment, I'm going to challenge everybody that's listening to us, that's at home, making your waffles and your omelet. If you do not have a ride to get here, I will pick you up and bring you to our house.
Amen.
We worship our Father every Sunday and every Wednesday. So I'm challenging y'all online to come. Show up. Show
Amen.
Up.
Amen. Amen. Now, that's a bold move right there. I want to see if anybody's going to call you next week. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that all the believers lifted up their voice together in prayer to God. Now, look what we got to see here in this prayer. This is not a long prayer, so you don't need to be a theologian to talk to God. You just got to believe something. You got to believe something about him, and then when you talk to him, you just acknowledge who he is and act like you believe he's who you say he is. And look at this. He says, now look, y'all got to get this. This is their prayer. Oh, sovereign Lord. In other words, God, you the supreme authority. Ain't nobody higher than you. You can do whatever you want to, whenever you want to do it, because you are sovereign. Then this is one of the things, Sister Veronica, we got to believe that this sovereign Lord, created of heaven and the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Now, do y'all believe that? Because most of them classes that you go to out there now dealing with astronomy and astrology and all this other stuff, they don't believe that. They don't believe that. Do you believe that that was a creator that created everything? Or do you believe that some atoms and some molecules just ran together? Even if them atoms and molecules start running together and cause some noise to happen, Wayne, somebody was controlling the molecules in them atoms. So what I'm trying to tell you, I believe that he is the supreme God. He is the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in. You don't belong to you. He created you. You are a created being. And so therefore you are here to serve him. Your creator. Some of y'all think that mom and daddy got you here. You're here because of God's will for your life. They were just doing what God said they need to do to have. And even if you were a mistake, you're here now. God know you're here. Some of y'all wasn't playing. Y'all just showed up. Let me move on. I'm yelling now. That is not a nugget. Don't nobody come in. I got that nugget. I wasn't playing. No, yo. But God knew you were going to show up. So he said he was the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Then he said, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, now they're just going to prophesy and cite some things coming from Psalms 2. He says, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? In other words, these nations was rising up against God. Then the kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Well, we know who the Messiah was. So David here speaking prophetically was talking about Jesus, because we say that Jesus is the Messiah. He came to be the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah. You got to believe that. I mean, that got to be embedded in your belief system, because if you don't believe that he is the Messiah, then guess what? You can't believe in this doctrine of Christianity. You got to believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by. You got to believe that. And you got to be able to defend that and know who he is, because you got to know who you are representing here in the earth. These folks were praying. You know, they came against the Messiah. And look at in verse 27. He said, in fact, somebody say, in fact. He said, in fact, what I'm about to say now is with some authority and certainty. In fact, you know, sometimes when y'all talking to folks, y'all need to just start off something. In fact. Meaning that when I'm about to say now, you need to pay close attention to. In fact. I ain't just randomly talking. I'm talking about in fact, this happened here in this very city. For Herod, who was the king, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, the Jews, were all united against who? Somebody say that name like you mean it. They were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. God, you set him apart and sent him to the earth, and you anointed him to be the savior of the world. That was his assignment, and these folks came against. So when you hear people coming against that name, you got to be able to defend it. And you ought, this little prayer right here can help you right there. That he was anointed to be your savior. You don't even know you need to be saved. That's why I'm here talking to you, telling you you need a savior. Because without a savior, you're going to hell. Y'all scared to say that hell word now, because I know in the church they don't say it no more like they used to. When I was a little boy, we hear a little bit about hell every week. But nowadays, we can't talk hell because some Christians don't believe that is a hell. If you don't believe there is a hell, that's why you live. A hellish life. Because you don't believe that that's going to happen to you after you leave here. Oh, my God. Oh, let me read on. So they set it up to kill God's anointed. But look here. But everything, somebody say everything. Everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. In other words, what they did to your son did not catch you by surprise. It was all done according with your will, because it was your will that he was going to die to be the savior of the world. He was going to be the perfect sacrifice. And look at this, verse 29. I like this. He says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. Don't stop them. Y'all want them to stop the threats against y'all. But the Lord, just hear them. Let them keep talking. And give us, your servants, somebody said great boldness. Great boldness in preaching your word. Let them keep on threatening, but don't let us get scared. Because they talking noise, don't you get scared. God, let them talk, but give us boldness. Because if you give us the boldness, we'll talk back. I need y'all clap back. Nah, we don't talk back. Y'all clap back. I mean, you know, I had to learn that language, Finley, out there. You know, somebody say, I'm going to clap back at you. What that mean? I didn't know that. That don't mean what it used to be. I used to hear the word clap, and I'm thinking about, okay, you going to do this? No. I'm finna get in your grill and talk back at you. Okay, well, I can clap too now. Hey, this ain't going to be no one-sided clapping going on here, baby. I came to clap too. Because I got something to clap about. I know the one who I represent. And if need be, I can clap all day talking about. And I can, and Tanya, I can do it with great boldness. I ain't got to be scared. I just clap back. You want to talk about the devil? I want to clap back and talk about Jesus. You want to talk about your crystals? I'm going to clap back and talk about the spirit. You want to clap about your sage? I'm going to clap back and tell you, why are you burning sage in your house as if it's going to do something? Oh, God, have mercy. I'm going to clap back. I'm going to clap back. I'm going to clap back. You got a dog going to horse you over your door. For what? I'm going to clap back. You don't need no rabbit's foot. I'm going to clap back. Y'all walk around with y'all charms. I need some good luck charm. You need the Holy Spirit and some boldness. That's what you need. I know it. Because some of y'all know more about y'all zodiac sign than you know the Bible, than you know about the Bible. But I come to tell you, Aries and Scorpio and Sagittarius can't do nothing for you. Tanya, he said, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Preachers are scared today to preach this word, man. They scared of y'all. There's some preachers out there just scared, so they have to come and entertain y'all every Sunday. They got to come up with gimmicks. They can't just stop and read the Bible to y'all, because y'all will get bored. Y'all won't come back. So they have to come up with gimmicks. They have to play games with y'all. They have to entertain you to get you to come to church, when they ought to clap back and say, I ain't going to entertain you today. I ain't going to get up here and put on no minstrel show for you to come to hear about Jesus. I'm going to read this Bible to you, and then when you come up with every argument, I'm going to clap. Clap back. Now look at this, verse 30. He said, now look, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant.
Jesus.
That was their prayer. Now one time they said, Lord, take the threats away. Help us get out of this, Lord, with no suffering, no pain. Now, God, give us boldness. And then let some signs and wonders follow us as we go out and do things in your name. Now look at this. Somebody say, boy, look here. After that little short prayer, verse 31 says, after this prayer, the meeting place. Good God, man, I wonder what would a shaking look like here in Strive. I mean, I read the word, and all of a sudden the meeting place. Y'all can't even imagine that. Y'all so glued, and y'all don't know a shake when a shake comes. You know. y'all didn't come to church to be shaken. Y'all came here to be entertaining. But I dropped by on my way to heaven to shake somebody today. I want you to feel the power in God's word and cause you to have to do something instead of just sitting there like, oh, God, entertain me, Pastor. I came for you to just put on a little show. No, you came for this word to shake you up on the inside. Something ought to be happening on the inside of you when God's word is going forth. You got to receive it because it's moving on your heart. You ought to feel it moving in your life. And I can use language to get y'all out of your seat. All I got to do is talk about feelings for a little bit, because a lot of y'all came in here in your feelings. But I refuse to ignite your feelings unless I ignite it with the word of God. The word. It says, after his prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is another feeling after the Pentecost. This ain't Acts 2. This is later. So, obviously, believers can be filled again. Sometime when God give you an assignment, he have to fill you again to empower you to take on what he's given you. Some of y'all need to be filled anytime you're going to do something in the name of Jesus. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And you can't ask him that if you don't believe that there is such a thing as a Holy. So it said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with the God Almighty. God just looking for a few bold folk. He don't need the whole world. He just need a few. You know, the Marines just wanted a few good men. They got some women now, but they just wanted a few good men. God just need a few bold soldiers. He don't need all of y'all to be bold, just a couple of y'all. Because boldness would jump on the rest of y'all if one or two of us just get. And you can be the person to ignite that bold spirit in other people, because you know who you are and you know what you stand for, and you're not going to run away from the threat. You're going to face that threat head on. They preached God's word with bold, man. They preached so bold, things started happening. When they started preaching the word so bold, the church started growing exponentially. I mean, it just started growing. And they were still there from Pentecost. So a lot of these people were there still away from home, but church was so good, they stuck around. You know, sometime in the old days, church used to be so good, we didn't mind sticking around. Now pastor need a countdown clock, and y'all got me on timer saying that y'all here, I better be through by 12 o'clock, because y'all, church, but look here, I drop by to tell you, sometimes we just got to go overtime. Sometimes you got to turn the clock off and just let the Holy Spirit do what he got to do, because he may not be able to get it done in 45 minutes like y'all. This is not a sitcom, baby. We ain't got no commercials. We just going to run through this word and let God's word talk to you. Y'all been so desensitized with all these little short. Let me move on. That ain't no nugget. But the believers, man, this word was being preached so powerful that folks started believing. And so many stuck around that they had to try to figure out a way to feed the folk. And see, when they had some miscalculation in the feeding pattern, some folks started complaining about their daily rations. So the disciples said, look, we can't preach this word with power and make grits at the same time. Somebody got to make the grits. So we're going to call some deacons to be servants. Not run the church, but serve. Take care of the people. Make sure that they get their daily ration. And then now one of these deacons that they called seven. He told them to pick seven men, and they had to have a good reputation. The problem is now we're picking leaders that ain't got no good reputation. They got a bad reputation, and we still picking them. A good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And let them serve the people. Now, this one guy they chose, he was such a powerful believer, man, and full of faith. His name was Stephen. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Man, and Stephen did more than just serve the table, Brother Latham. He figured out that, hey, I'm going to just serve and preach at the same time. And so Stephen started up there and started preaching and started challenging some folk beliefs. And guess what? He ended up before that same council that John and Peter ended up before. And so chapter 7 of Acts gives us the account of Stephen before the council. I'm going to kind of paraphrase some of this, and I'll start reading in 51, but let me just get you there. Stephen recounts the history of Israel, beginning with Abraham and the patriarchs. In other words, he talked about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, and their sons. He even told a story about how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then mentioned that Joseph got raised to the highest position in Egypt behind Pharaoh, and he was put in that position so that he could save his people, even after he was put in slavery. Then he told how, you know, after a Pharaoh came on that didn't know Joseph, how the people were being oppressed. And he talked about how God raised up Moses to be their deliverer. But he also started to get on their nerves a little bit when he started to tell them that not only did their forefathers rebel against God, but they turned on Moses. Man caused Moses to miss the promised land because he listened to the hard-headed, stiff-necked, stubborn folk. Preacher, you can't look at the faces of the people if they're hard-headed and stiff-necked. You're going to have to stand on this word no matter what they. So he was telling your ancestors, granddaddy, big mama, Uncle Shug, they were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. They refused to believe. You know, folks start talking about your kinfolk, you get a little upset. Hey, man, you know some of y'all be all right long they ain't talking about your kinfolk. You know, your daddy was just stiff-necked. Well, you ain't gonna talk about my dad like that. What he was doing? He would tell y'all, yo, kinfolk. They were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. And when he hit that nerve, when he rebuked them and accused them of being in unbelief just like their ancestors were, he said, because you guys are still resisting the Holy Spirit. So I'm wondering today, is there folks sitting up in church that is resisting the Holy Spirit? You come and hear the Bible read to you and preached to you and talked to you, but then when it talks about spiritual things and being empowered by the Holy Spirit, you resist the message of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't wrap your mind around how the Spirit of God can move on you and do things in you. You won't open yourself up to hear that message, so you resist the Holy Spirit. You can't win this warfare you're in without the Holy. The reason so many Christians are out there doing what they're doing, there is no spirit on the inside of them. They're operating in their own spirit and not the... So I just dropped by on the way to heaven today to tell you, don't resist. The Holy Spirit. Oh, that's just too spooky for me. I ain't going to church of no spirit. Well, see, you've been taught wrong about him. You see him only as a dance. And so you dance a certain little step. Oh, they got the Holy Spirit. Oh, that don't mean nothing. And you don't have to be bold to do this. I don't take no boldness. Run across there. You don't have to be bold to do that. And the devil let you dance all day long. Just dance your little heart out. He worried about what you're going. You didn't come to striving to learn how to dance. You came here to learn how to talk, to speak with. I didn't call you here to teach you how to do the latest two-step on the stage in the name of Jesus. No, you came here to be able to talk boldly with your feet flat, foot on the ground, standing on the... Man, if you let your dance, the world will love you with your dance, because half of your dance look like they dance. You ain't going to confront nobody with no dance. Y'all just brought that dance from the world right into the... Put a little wave to it, the same thing. They even backing it up now in the... Ooh, I was filled with the Spirit there. Did you see him up there backing it up? That wasn't no spirit. The Holy Spirit should have told you, keep your feet flat foot on the ground and praise God. Oh, let me read on. I see now, I can feel a Stephen moment coming right here. I can feel the stones getting picked up right now. Wayne, but I'm ready. I'm ready, man. If the stones going to start flying, Tanya, I'm ready. I'm ready to go down for the cause. Amen. I just need to let somebody know. I hope you are ready to go down for what you believe in. Let me get on back to this. I'm almost done. Verse 51. I'm at verse 51 now in chapter 7. After he had confronted them, he made this bold accusation against them. And verse 51 says, you stubborn people. I'm not going to call any of y'all stubborn. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you feel him saying, ooh, you are so stubborn. Your attitude ain't even right while you're sitting up in here. You in here arguing with pastor in the word because you upset. You stubborn. I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to these folks right here. He say, you stubborn people. Exclamation points. So that means he said with emphasis, you stubborn people. And then he called them heathens. He said, you are heathens at heart and deaf to the truth. In other words, you take what you're hearing and turn it into something else. You make God's word a matter of your opinion. Whatever your opinion is about God's word, that's what you want it to be. Instead of saying God's word is true, therefore I got to line my opinion up with it and not make my opinion override God's. Y'all are listening to too many opinions out there. Everybody got an opinion, but if they ain't reading this Bible, all it is their opinion. You want the opinion of God on your side. You want to know what God say about this and what God say about that, not what man. Because man will tell you marry whoever you want to. But that ain't God's. That ain't God's opinion. Look at this. He says, your heart, a heathen at heart, and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Wow. Then he started indicting them with some of the evidence, as if he was in a courtroom. He says, name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. Talking pretty called Isaiah, Ezekiel. He probably started naming some of them. All them folk that came in the name of the Lord to tell your folk about the Messiah, they killed them. He says, they even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one. Then he tells us who the righteous one is, the Messiah. Then he comes to them, whom you betrayed and... Now, I can see they're squirming there. They're getting a little uneasy right now, Brother JP, because he just called them a murderer. He just told them they stiff-necked just like their granddaddy, their grandmama, and their great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy were. You acting just like them. You know, back in the old days, folks would tell you that quickly. I hope they were saying the good way. Boy, you just acting like your old granddaddy. Do you need that? Well, what was granddaddy like? Because if he was right, I want to be acting like granddaddy. But if he was a fool, do you need to correct me? Don't let me walk around acting like granddad when granddad was cutting a fool. Oh, don't curse me with that. You acting like your old granddaddy. No, well, how was he acting? Well, you know he was doing this. He ran a little moonshiny. Nope, I ain't acting like him. I ain't acting like granddaddy. He left grandmama. Nope. I ain't acting like granddad. He had three wives, three girlfriends, six sets of children. I ain't acting like. No, but I love granddaddy. He just didn't know no better. But now that you know better, you can't act like grand. Y'all better, oh my God, y'all didn't come out of here that today. I know, but you can't act like granddad and grandmama if they ain't acting like God. I was doing all right, so I started talking about granddaddy. Now, okay, that's okay. Let me move on then. Now, look at this. Man, it don't get no easier right here, Tanya, because he said in verse 55, after he said they betrayed and murdered, he says, you deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hand of God. In other words, Moses got the law from heaven on Mount Sinai first. You guys had it first, and y'all didn't. So we see intentionality can work both ways. You can intentionally do wrong, and you can intentionally do right. So I just dropped by to ask, which one of them intentionality are you rolling with today? Are you intentionally disobeying God's word? Are you intentionally obeying? Don't get quiet on me right there. Don't make me have to look out there and try to figure which one you are. You better say something. You better say something and agree with one. Are you intentionally obeying? Amen. 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 Could have been louder because some of y'all like y'all scared to be intentional about obeying. But I ain't going to ask about the disobedience because some of y'all may be bold enough to stand and let me know how the Holy Spirit will rise up. Now look at this. After he accused them of deliberately doing some things against God's law, we see how anger can turn into rage and fury. And man, when that happens, folks will hurt you. That's why I tell folks, you know, when you marry and you married to someone got a little bit of a temper, you better know when you don't hit the wrong button. You got to know when conversation turns from, okay, honey, baby, you know, eyeballs done got this big, slobber coming out the mouth. You better, whoa, I need to back up. I done hit a nerve. Because I can feel a little anger. I can feel a little rage. And see, now somebody got to be the recipient of that. They call it displaced aggression. So if he going to butt his head up against the wall, he going to butt your head. Let me read on, because I know I'm meddling right now. I shouldn't have went there. That ain't for y'all. That's for y'all friends. Because I'm going to take it all y'all got good relationship. Y'all ain't in no abusive, ugly relationship. I'm going to just give y'all a bit of that. But y'all got some friends out there who's in some ugly relationships. And you need to tell your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or whoever your friend is, hey, you better read the signs. When she started to get infuriated and angry, you better watch out. Because if she got some grits on the stove. Some of y'all too young for that one. That was y'all too young. Right over y'all head. Okay, let me move on. He says, the Jewish leaders, verse 54, the Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. In other words, that was a sign that, hey man, we finna take some action on you. We finna go beyond just talking to you, Stephen. Now we finna take some action. But look at what Stephen does, man. In verse 55, but Bible say, but Stephen. Somebody say, but Stephen. Now he looking at them faces and see all of them got upset and angry about some stuff. But the Bible said, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right. Good God Almighty, y'all better get that. Now he is having a spiritual vision right before he finna get stoned to death. And he have the insight and the spiritual wisdom to look up into heaven. In the Bible, most of the time, it depicts Jesus as being seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God. But here, Stephen looked up there and faith Jesus and got up out of his seat. As if Jesus looking down at Stephen's case, I know what's going to happen to you, boy. You've been down there defending my name. And I know that it's going to cost you your life. So when you look up, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to welcome you to where you coming. Because what's going to happen to you is going to be ungodly. But I got you. Even if you're going to die for my cause, I'm standing up to let you know, welcome into your eternal home. You never belong down there anyway. That was temporary. But you coming now all because you stood up for. Verse 56 says, and he stood and told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears. You know where they're trying to drown out the truth. They don't want to hear what he's saying. And they begin shouting. You know, some folk will out-talk you when you're trying to tell them the truth. They don't want to listen to you. They're going to try to out-talk you. You just may sometimes have to get a bigger megaphone, or you just need to start praying for them while they're out there trying to out. They placed their hand over their ears and began shouting. Then rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coat and laid them at the feet of a young man named, good God Almighty, Saul wasn't always a good guy. He was instigating these folk to go out there and stone Stephen. But it's amazing how God can take low-down folk and turn them into something good. At this point in time, Saul was low. He's saying, go get the rocks. Hit him again. Make sure you kill him. Because he done looked up into heaven and talking about he done seen Jesus. Well, you're going to have to look up too and see that same Jesus when you riding on your little donkey. But he didn't know that now. So right now, he's playing his role as a Pharisee, watching and encouraging Stephen to be stoned to death. And the Bible lets us know, and I'm going to read these last two, and I'm going to sit down, that in the midst of the stoning, Stephen prayed. Now, that don't surprise me. You know, when you're going through, we all pray. Folk that don't pray all the time, the minute something happens to them, they pray. But what surprised me, Brother JP, was what he prayed. What he prayed. You know, that would have been a time for God to say, God, come down and wipe these sorry, no good rascals out. Why are they trying to throw that stone, hit them with a bolt of lightning? before the stone leave their hand, hit them with a bold. See, I'm a bold one to pray. Don't let them look, Lord. I see brother man over there got that rock in your hand, Lord. It's a good time now for some lightning. It's a good time for some lightning. But what you gonna do if the lightning don't? Let's briefly look at Stephen's prayer. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." We say it all the time at folks' funeral. The spirit done went back where it's supposed to be. The earth, the ashes, the body gonna turn back to dust where it came from. So Stephen said, "Lord, I know I'm finna die. So now I want you to receive my." Those of you who Bible scholars ought to know that we say that every Easter. Part of the seven last saying, when Jesus said to the Father, "Receive my." Look at this. He fell on his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this and that." That ain't bolding right there. I got to get there. Right there. See, that's a prayer of forgiveness. He's saying, "Lord, forgive these very folk who are stoning me to death." Stephen is an example for us today. Because some of y'all are sitting here with unforgiveness in your heart. And you ain't even being stoned, you just being talked about. And you can't forgive folk for what they done said about you. The stones that they throwing at you with their words, little darts and things they done said, they done been online and, put you out there on their instant page, on their website, on their Facebook page, they done tagged you and talked about you. And all of a sudden now you in a rage. I dropped by to tell you, Pee Wee, you ain't supposed to be in a, you supposed to be praying for them and asking God to help you to for. If someone is sitting here today in unforgiveness, you came here to hear me tell you, you can't please God with unforgiveness in your heart. You can't please God. In the prayer, Jesus said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive. Forgive us, Lord, our sins as we forgive those who sin against." So I encourage you, I'm done. If you know that's you, man, when you leave here today, walk out of here and let that person know, or let whatever know that you forgive them. Because unforgiveness hurts you more than it hurt. You can't walk around and harbor unforgiveness in your heart, because if you do long enough, it's going to turn to anger and rage. And then now you're going to start wishing for bad things to happen to those folks that has done you. I'm through preaching. I hope y'all get that nugget. That's the one nugget I want y'all to get. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You've got to forgive people. Because Jesus forgave you, you got to forgive others. And sometimes that could be difficult, but you got to be bold enough to do it. Amen? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.